This is Health Frontiers, and I'm Lexi Ross. And tonight I have a very special guest, Mr. Jacques Fresco, who is the originator of the Venus Project. And I like to describe Jacques as being a genius who probably has more inventions than Da Vinci and Tesla and Edison put together. Good evening, Jacques.
Good evening.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I want you to tell our listening audience about the Venus Project and how it came into being and why you kind of pulled out of the mainstream to do your own thing.
Well, to start with, we advocate a resource-based economy. Let me tell you what that is. If you were stranded on an island with millions of dollars in gold and diamonds, if the island had no arable land, no fish, and no water, the money would be useless. What is important is resources, not money, not ethics. If you succeeded in electing the most ethical people into government, if we ran out of resources, there'd be lying, cheating, stealing, and all the other problems. It isn't ethics that we need, and it is not politics that we need. The problems the world faces today are technical problems, and they can only be solved technically. For example, a resource-based economy. At World War I and World War II, we didn't have very much money. We were sort of in a depression. And the Germans were turning out 2,000 planes a year. And we only had 600 first-class fighting airplanes.
Is that right?
According to Lindbergh survey. Now, we didn't have any money. Don't forget we had a depression. But we had the resources to build 90,000 planes a year. So it is resources that count. As long as you think in political terms, you're thinking in the past, politics does not work. All nations today are basically corrupt. I mean, all of them, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Now, there are some radio stations that are considered liberal, and they point out the shortcomings of our culture, but they do not offer an alternative method of solving a problem.
That's true.
It is not enough to criticize a country without offering a possible alternative. In other words, you have great people on the air, very sincere, very kind, very good-natured. But when put to the question, what can we do about it, they usually say, well, I don't know. Now, let's consider the 1929 liberal. Let us say that you're a good businessman and you're very kind and you pay your help $30 an hour while I outsource my help. You can't stay in business if you don't outsource. The monetary system itself is so designed as to produce problems for people. So you see, even if you were kind, if you gave your help medical insurance and health care and more than the minimum wage, you cannot stay in business or maintain the competitive edge. It's our system that's at fault. It isn't that people are greedy. Now consider this. If you live near a place like Ochos Rios in Jamaica, where eight rivers come together, there's so much water there that you don't put a price on it. When water was available, clean water, we couldn't put a price on it. It was available so abundantly.
Right.
So what the Venus Project advocates is that we produce in abundance and make it available to all people, healthcare, medical care, without money. Without the use of money. As long as you have a monetary system, you're going to have corruption in government, corruption in all high places, and no matter how many laws you enact, If there's hunger, starvation, and need, there will be crime.
Well, how
in other words, all man-made laws are artificial. The only laws that count are natural law. If you don't get enough sleep, good food, nutritious food, you get sick. Those are the laws that count. Man-made laws are designed to control people.
Well, that's the truth. Well, how do you generate resources without having money?
How do you do what?
How do you generate the resources without having money?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry to say this, that our system will not undergo real change until the system collapses, like the Soviet Union. In other words, our system will collapse. Now, here's the basis for it. Japan is moving toward 90% automation in the automobile plants. That means no air conditioning, no pensions, and the factory works 24 hours continuously. The United States is putting in more and more automation. If you still don't understand this, you go to a modern airport today, and the trains that run on the airport, like the BART system, has no conductors, it has no operator, the train is operated by computer.
Right.
This is happening in all industries. They're automating heavily, and the more you automate, the less purchasing power people have. So as the factories become more and more automatic, more and more people will be laid off. And as they're laid off, there comes a time when the majority of people all over the world do not have the purchasing power to buy vacuum cleaners, automobiles, or houses. And that's the death of this system. All systems die. There is no way to design a system that's going to remain stable because things continuously change in nature. Trees, plants, animals, continental drift. There's so many factors that are changing. So if we don't face up to reality, the nature of the physical world must determine what we do. Let me put it another way. In order for a society to survive, it must conform to the carrying capacity of each geological area. In other words, if you have more people in a given area than that land can support, there'll be illness and disease. That's called dynamic equilibrium in nature.
Right.
If you keep taking fish out of the ocean without putting anything back, you're going to ultimately run into problems. If you keep dumping radioactive stuff, which they've done, into the oceans. The United States Army dumped off the coast of Miami more than 40 tons of nerve gas.
When was this?
Oh, about 25 years ago.
I see.
But how can you love the country? How can you love America and do these things? Something is missing in our educational system, and that is the generalist. In other words, instead of a person becoming a psychologist, an electrical engineer, a medical doctor, they will be given a generalist point of view so they understand different cultures and our interdependence on nature. Man is not a separate entity. He's connected to the physical world and all natural phenomena. That's why I say man makes a lot of laws. He even makes treaties with other nations. And if the treaties are inconvenient, they break them. And if the laws don't fit the needs of a culture, they change the law. You can't do that. You have to find out how nature works. You have to do an overall survey of the Earth's resources and maintain a population that coincides with the carrying capacity of the Earth. It has nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with a nice guys in government. It has to do with conforming to the carrying capacity of the Earth. Do you have any difficulty with that?
Not at all. I know where you're understand.
I'm
where
not
you're going.
Talking about nice guys, nice people.
No,
in
I
other
know.
Words, what we need is the intelligent management of the Earth's resources. Now, you can't do that when the bottom line is profit. If the bottom line is profit, you have to outsource in order to keep up with the competitive edge. People say, well, that isn't nice, laying off Americans and giving our work or projecting our work overseas because the cost is less. The theory of the free enterprise system, or the bottom line, is profit. And if that's what they work for, people do not invest money to take care of other people. They invest it to make a profit. And as long as you understand what I'm talking about, the profit system will continue to abuse more and more people until the system fails.
All right.
When the system fails, then people will be looking for answers to these problems. Unfortunately, they will not be looking for answers now. They will pay very little attention to ideas that are novel or new social arrangements. Now, of course, I don't believe you're old enough to remember the Great Depression in the United States. But when the Depression occurred and thousands of people lost their homes and the banks failed, then all these new organizations sprung up. Mankind United, communism, socialism, fascism, all these ideas came into existence, but none of them worked. In other words, communism and socialism is not radical enough for America. It will not produce the answers that we need. Like I said, our problems are technical. What does that mean? We have to increase the agricultural yield. We have to design production methods so that when new machines come in, we shorten the workday, increase the purchasing power. You don't lay people off. But this cannot occur in a monetary system.
Well, Jock, you had a system at one time that you called social cyberneering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're still calling it that, but
we call it the future by design.
Future by design now.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you?
In other words, you can't send a man to another planet by politicians. In other words, when scientists are asked, can you put a man on the moon? They say, well, if you put up the money and provide us with the facilities, yes. Anytime the government called upon the methods of science, they came up with an answer.
That's true.
But in the future by design, you won't have to dig up nickels and dimes for cystic fibrosis or Parkinson's disease. We will give every lab whatever equipment they need. In other words, just like the military system is well provided for, we will provide for resources, health care, increasing the agricultural yield, rebuilding the environment, restoring the oceans and the reefs. In other words, you have a bunch of stupid people in government. They have always been stupid. Let me put it this way. If you understand what I'm talking about, the system itself is designed to move toward self-destruction. In other words, the basis for profit is not to consider human need, but the bottom line. So you got to understand that a man cannot stay in business if he's a humanist. He can't do that. He
That's
can't
true.
Compete.
That's true.
So I'm trying to say this. I'm not asking you to give up your humanism. What I'm asking you to do is consider what I'm talking about. Sometimes people say on liberated radio shows and television shows that we want to take back America. I'm sure you've heard that.
Oh, sure.
Or let us reclaim democracy. We never had a democracy. All that is an illusion.
That's true.
If you don't have equal health care and purchasing power, you can't live the lifestyle you want to. You can only live the lifestyle you can afford. Now, a poor working man on minimum wage has to buy a used car. He can't afford a new car. Now, a used car breaks down more than a new car. So he has so many problems built up, so many cumulative problems. And this is happening all over the world, not just America.
Oh, absolutely.
So
that's
what what different countries do, is they indoctrinate children when they're very young. What's the greatest country in the world? Our country, of course. What's the only true God? Our God, of course. And so by filling their heads with a lot of empty artificialities, they maintain control over the population. The population itself becomes the unappointed guardians of the system that abuses them. Of course, they don't know this. You don't have this on radio and television. You don't have solutions. All you have is people pointing out the shortcomings of the war or profiteering in government, but they don't tell us how to stop it. The system I'm talking about, when you make things available to people, you have the end of crime. If you still have difficulty with that, consider the public library. Before the public library was built, they said, you can't let people take out books. That's going to interfere with private enterprise. Well, let me tell you something. They finally got the library in, and people read books, and they bought more books because they were better informed.
That's
so we want to build a place like the public library where any young kid or adult can walk in and say, I'd like to check out a camera. We say, do you know how to use it? Well, if the answer is no, we show the youngsters how to use it. And we say, what do you want to do with it? They say, well, the kid says, I love animals. Well, take these pictures of animals, bring them back to us, and take care of the camera, and you get a bigger camera with more equipment. Today, kids have no place to go. You know what they do? They hang out in malls.
Yeah, and
they just walk around. What a waste of life.
They take drugs.
We must have art centers, music centers, cultural centers. They go, where is the money coming from to do all that? But that is not the question. Do we have the resources to do that? Yes, we do. We have more than enough resources. But if you conscripted all the money in the world, it is not enough to do anything useful. But we have enough resources. For example, the cost of World War II alone could have built hospitals and schools all over the world and wiped out poverty. Just the cost of World War I. How stupid can you be? You have a Pentagon of people who believe that they're defending America. They don't even know what defense means. To defend America, you need sociologists. You need generalists who understand different cultures, who can bridge the difference, not make war. War is the supreme failure of communication between nations. So you can't do it through politics, no matter who you vote for. Like I said before, even if you voted for the most ethical people in the world, if you ran out of resources, they'd be cheating, lying, stealing. Do you understand that?
Oh, sure.
So you get away from the myths that you were brought up with. Our whole society, our television shows, our motion pictures, are all mythical structures, unreal. This is why we have conflict. Now, is it possible to devise a language without conflict? Yes, it is. The proof is that science and technology and mathematics is the same all over the world. Mathematics is not subject to interpretation. Physical science is not subject to interpretation. But religion is. When you read the Bible, people say, well, I think Jesus meant this. Oh, no, he meant that. So you have the Lutheran, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Catholic, because it's subject to interpretation. But science is subject to investigation. If you're not sure, you can check it out. So when you sit back and try to say, you know, people ought to learn to live together and work harmoniously. Well, how do you do that? This is what's missing. Sure, everybody will agree with you. Or they'll say, well, you can't change human nature. They really believe that human nature is a built-in system. It is not. You learn to be greedy in a system of scarcity. You learn greed and you learn hostility by the type of motion pictures, by the television shows you see. Most of them are arrogant. Most of the shows that you see, most of the games that the kids play are based on destruction. Even very successful television shows, I don't want to name them, but what are they about? Are they about the future, really? No, they're about laser weapons, blowing people up in space, blowing up spaceships. There is nothing sane that appears on television. There are very few role models out there that tell people where the answers lie. So it is very difficult within our system to get these ideas out there. Now, I'm trying to give you my life's work within an hour, and it's almost impossible. So what you're going to have to do, those of you that are really interested what I'm talking about, is check www.thevenusproject.com. Now, a film producer William Gusecki is going to release a documentary on the Venus Project called The Future by Design. Now, there are a lot of people who believe that
John, wait a minute. Pardon
they
me.
Said people, you'll kill incentive if you make things available to people without charge. Consider this. Just being born in America, you had nothing to do with the telephone. You didn't make the railroad or the electricity. You got all that for nothing. Think about that. There's nothing wrong with getting things for nothing. You always have been getting things for nothing. What do you think the profit system is? It's a way of getting things with the minimum expenditure of energy on the backs of the poor.
That's true.
I know it's very hard for you to consider this.
Oh, no, no, no. These are all
thoughts that Well, people have strayed too far away from the teachings of Christ. Well, Christ chased the money changers out of the temple. And now they're all back in full control.
That's true.
And even Christianity has sold out to the monetary system.
That's very true.
You know, you can't get a new chandelier in church unless you invite the wealthy people to dinner. The minister doesn't have dinner with a coal miner or the average working man. He can't add anything to the church. So you have so much artificiality, so much unrealism in our country that it generates problems. That's why you have psychologists and psychiatrists. Psychologists that would try to adjust you to this system would have something wrong with themselves. Anyone that would try to adjust you to this system that never did work is not well adjusted. So really what is needed is a new and refreshing point of view. We now have the energy and the technology to build a fantastic world and eliminate poverty from the face of the earth. We can eliminate hunger, military systems, police, and prisons if we make things available to people.
But
when people have access to the necessities of life, they change. They become more amiable, more friendly. But when you accumulate debt and servitude, and people have to serve others, and they never pull out of it, in other words, a man on or woman on minimum wage cannot pull out of that situation. They can never own a home, never make their way, and never get anything. So you have alternatives. Either I become partly corrupt, sell drugs, maybe I can get out of this. In other words, well, people who sell drugs are harming other people, but so are people who own and operate industry, harming other people. In other words, the system itself is basically corrupt. People say to me, what are you going to do with the criminals? Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit about that. An Eskimo never dreams of walking on a palm-fringed beach because they have never seen anything like that. And all human beings are perfectly well-adjusted to where they're coming from. If you're brought up by ignorant people who give you bigotry and prejudice and provide you with artificiality, your behavior reflects that. There are no good or bad people. There are people subjected to different experiences and different environments, and that in turn shapes their values. They are not born with prejudice, greed, or hatred. These are learned conditions. In a society that is sane, that cannot even occur. It would be unthinkable for a person to want to hurt another person in a sane society. There's no need for police or prisons when people have access to things. So I will suggest a book that I have written called, the more recent book deals with Something for Nothing. It deals with all of the problems that we face today and the way out. The book is the best that money can't buy. That's the name of the book. It goes beyond politics, poverty, and war.
Now, what's the name of the book again?
The Best That Money Can't Buy.
Okay.
Because we don't use money. So there's no basis for corruption. Remember this. You can't sell drugs in a culture that doesn't use money. Is that right?
Yeah.
A girl or a guy cannot marry a girl because she's loaded, or a girl marries a guy because he's a good economic investment. That falsity, artificiality, will disappear. But as long as there's a money system, when a doctor says to you, I think your kidney has to come out, I don't know if he's trying to pay off a new yacht or whether my kidney has to come out.
That's true.
It's very hard to trust people in a monetary system.
That's true. Well, let me ask you this. Can you talk about some of the inventions that you've created, Jacques?
Well, you see, the evolution of the monetary system moves toward, basically toward fascism. We're at the beginning of a fascist culture now. Taking back America is not possible if they control the media, the newsprint, the radio, television, the schools, the kind of information. When they make heavy donations to universities, they don't want radical ideas. They don't want people to rock the boat. But our system can only grow by rocking the boat. In other words, we want people to have allegiance not to country, but to methodology. We want people to have allegiance not to this church or that church or this country or this creed, but allegiance to methodology means that if a Frenchman turns out a better system in surgery, we acknowledge that. If a Japanese family or Japanese research finds answers to improve robotics, we acknowledge that and admire that. So human beings in the future will be educated to change things, to improve things, to make things better, and not blindly accept what they are told. If we don't accept the responsibility for managing human deprivation and the resources of the world, others will do our thinking for us. Therefore, we must accept the responsibility of our own future. And this is the general directive of the future by design.
But give us some examples of how you would go about doing that, Jacques. Give us some specific examples.
Of the future by design?
Yes. How would you go about setting up the resource program?
Okay. We are trying now, and we have completed an outline of a motion picture called And the World Will Be One. It's about how to get from here to there. I don't have the time to go into all the details, but people have to be educated first to know how they relate to the world of nature and to other people. For example, engineers do not have conflict in conversation. When engineers talk to each other, they talk about stress, they talk about torsion, they talk about the physical entities they're involved with. They don't have a language of corruption. Whereas the language used by people every day is not a precise language. It's subject to interpretation. So what you get is a lot of poor reactions, misunderstanding, misinterpretation. All of our language was designed a long time ago in ages of scarcity. For example, if the average American were to see a new type of airplane, say without wings, they'll say, it can't fly, it doesn't have wings. They haven't even learned how to talk. The question is, how do you propose to lift off the ground without wings? Once we learn to talk that way, we eliminate conflict. In other words, instead of saying, it'll never work, how do you propose to deal with people that don't go along with you? In other words, you don't say, it'll never work. If you don't say to a child, you have misspelled cat, you use the K-A-T, you show them how we spell it. You print it out for them. You don't criticize people. You show them an alternative. So when you deal with other countries, you don't try to get them to think your way. You try to get them to think in terms of the earth, its resources, and the standard of living, which is based upon maintaining a population consistent with the productivity of the resources or the availability of the resources. This motion picture will provide that information. It will tour the world, and I hope that we get that motion picture out before the crash. If the crash occurs first, you'll get a military dictatorship.
When are you foreseeing the crash?
I can't tell you that exactly, but we are running out of money now, and the wealthy are getting wealthier. The poor are getting more burdens put upon them. So the system is not going to last very long, perhaps just a few years. I would say possibly within 5 or 6 years, the system will collapse. And there are no alternative structures in place. The most powerful group today in America is the military. And they're the only one that's organized. So the military will maintain what they call law and order. That means defending the establishment. And so it's very difficult. For example, when we say that let us reclaim democracy, a lot of people don't know that the soldiers of World War I were promised a bonus of $600, but they never got it. So thousands of soldiers or war veterans marched on Washington, and General Douglas MacArthur had the troops throw tear gas or launch tear gas at these soldiers. So we never had a democracy. We always had a system that was designed to support the established order. We don't want an established system. We want an emergent system. That means a culture that changes continuously. In other words, there's no such thing as utopia or final frontiers. We will always change. Some people think there is such a thing as intelligence. Consider this. An intelligent electrical engineer of 75 years ago couldn't get a job today. So intelligence is an ongoing process. We are not even civilized, because that is an ongoing process. The more we learn about nature and our relation to it and disease, the more civilized we become. But we never become civilized as such. It's an ongoing process. So the future has no utopias, no final frontiers, no grand world where everything is settled. We are always in the process of change. And this is what we have to learn, how to accept change emotionally and intellectually. We have to prepare our people and people all over the world to be able to understand that change is part of social evolution. You can't freeze things and keep things as they are. If you do, you'll fall behind. If we fail to integrate particular areas of how we get to be the way we are, and other countries go on doing research, we will become a has-been nation. In other words, we have to keep at the frontiers of knowledge in order to survive today. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make information that is not readily available. There are many robotics engineers that talk about the future of robots. There are many people who say, well, we'll have new automobiles that do not produce toxic fumes. Well, how do you do that? How do you get that in? So there's a lot of artificiality out there, and I'd like to blow those myths out and offer a workable alternative that can be done in just a few years. It doesn't take 1,000 years. It would take about 10 years to change the surface of the earth to a second Garden of Eden. But you can't do it Jimmy Carter's way, putting up houses with a hammer and nails. It's ridiculous. We can build automatic machines that can extrude buildings by the mile and turn out thousands of houses a week. You can do it with bricklayers and carpenters. You can't house people. You can't do it by collecting nickels and dimes for medical research. We have all the facilities to do it. Let's use them. Let's use the Earth's resources intelligently.
Well, give us some examples of some of the machinery, for instance, that you've invented. You've invented these extruding machines.
Today, people are moving out of the city. They're moving to suburbia. But in suburbia, you have to drive north to the doctor. You have to drive south to shopping. You have to drive several miles to work. So you're using fuel unnecessarily. The cities of the future will have within the center of the city art centers, music centers, childcare, medical care, dental care, shopping, all in the center of the city. So you don't have to waste energy. Instead of using automobiles, we'll build a transportation system in the city that travels circumferentially around the city, vertically and horizontally, to take you anywhere within that city within minutes. In other words, you don't need cars. You don't need automobiles in cities. And people say, what do you do about natural accidents? Well, all swimming pools are equipped with nets. And when you leave the home, the net comes up. So if someone falls in, they don't drown. Or if the net is on the bottom of the pool and a child falls in the pool, sinks and hits the net, for more than 30 seconds, the net comes up. In other words, there are thousands of different ways of preventing accidents. Accidents are mostly technical negligence. In other words, we have signs on our highways. It's a slippery when wet. We don't want that signs like that. We want to put abrasive in the highway, tilt the highway, so it's not slippery when wet. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
For example, in Sweden, when children cross the street near a school, there used to be a sign, drive carefully, children crossing. Now when children want to cross, they press a button and a section of the pavement turns up so no car can hit a child. You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
This is what I'm talking about. We have to use science and technology to raise the standard of living and the safety and health of people. There'll be no artificial coloring, and there's no reason today for a drug company to look into natural ways of providing good health for people, because there's no money in it. There's a lot of money in selling drugs. If they find out that eating carrots are good for eyesight, you can't make any money that way. So you have too much greed and artificiality perpetuated by the monetary system. And don't think that people can learn to be kind or good. They cannot in a monetary system.
Well, that's very true, because it's
I'm
not equally distributed.
You know? I don't like what I'm saying, but I have to be ruthlessly honest. And this is the only way we'll get to the future, is not by catering to what people like to hear. For example, politicians say things people like to hear. And theologians say things people have a need to hear. There, everything is going to work out all right. Theologians are really basically dishonest people because they don't know answers to questions. They will admit that. They don't know. But science in general has solved most of our problems. You ask them to make a nuclear bomb, they make it. You ask them to put a man on the moon, they make it. Only difference that in the future, no scientist will work on weapon systems. No scientist will work on military devices. So you really don't have scientists today. You have specialists in optics, sociology, psychology, engineering, but you don't have generalists. With the proper education, no scientist would ever work on weapon systems.
Well, they have to now to earn a living. That's why they do
well,
it.
Well, no, they don't have to.
Well,
they
I mean,
do.
That's in our society
they do,
today. They
because
have
they're
to.
In a trap.
That's
a
right.
A social trap, like most people are in a social trap. In the early days, a doctor would come to your house. He got to know the family. Today, they move people through medical clinics no more than 20 minutes a person. They move them through, because in that way, you can up the profit system. In other words, many machines today are designed to wear out and break down. It's called planned obsolescence. Every year they put a new tail fin on a car to get you to buy a new car. It's very easy to design cars that can't hit each other. We can put proximity devices on automobiles, so even if you wanted to hit another car, you couldn't. In other words, people don't know the state of technology today. They don't know about what's happening in science and technology. And
well,
most of the radio shows and television shows are sensational. They don't show the social aspects of invention.
No, they don't, because they're so controlled. We don't have a free media
yes.
in America.
So I hope that the motion picture that I'm advocating we'll get some producer to call us and say, hey, tell us more about that picture. We want to make that picture. But remember this. The film by William Gizecki called The Future by Design is an overview of the Venus Project's proposals on the future by design.
Well, Jacques, will you talk to us about when I visited you have a compound down in South Florida, and I visited and saw the houses that you built that were impervious to hurricanes and storms.
Several domes.
Yes.
On the ground.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Why don't you talk about the mainframe computer that you have designed that controls the resources and helps them distribute?
You're right. Lexi, eventually, we hope that the management of human affairs will be accomplished by computers. In other words, instead of people being elected in the government, they've loused up the world for years with war. It's never really made any difference. People have loused up communism, socialism, the free enterprise system. Human beings are not capable of operating a system of the complexity that I'm talking about. For example, about 9 months ago, some of the computers were designed to be able to handle 500 trillion bits of information per second. Now, no group of humans can do that. So what we advocate is to connect the computers to industry, agriculture, transportation, so they can get an overview of the entire system. You see what I mean?
Sure.
For example, if you wanted to ship a lot of automobiles to Louisiana, the computer would tell you you can't. The bridges are washed out. Once the computers are, instead of being connected to a lot of people, which constantly yak at one another, the computers will be connected to industry, resources, transportation, air transport, so that we'll know where every plane in the world is at every instant. We will know of continental drift. We'll know of fish migration, changes in temperatures throughout the world. All hurricanes and weather will be visible in all the homes of the future without the need for newsprint or newspapers. For example, your television set will have a screen in front of it, and the news of the day will be printed on that screen. And then you take it off and read it, and you put it back up, and it's erased by infrared. And the same thing prints the news of the next day. So you don't have to cut down the forest. You don't have to have newsboys delivering newspapers. And you don't have any commercials. You don't have any salespeople. You don't have any more of these artificialities, which we're so steeped in, we think that, well, I guess that's the way it is. No, that's the way it has been. And that's the way you've been brainwashed to think it has to be.
It's so true.
And see, you are actually told that this is the best system in the world. Remember that if you, as a baby, were raised by the headhunters of the Amazon, you'd be a headhunter if you never saw anything else. So I'm trying to tell you something. The difference between a minister and a serial murderer is environment. If we don't get rid of the environment that produces these stressful patterns of behavior, social and human aberration is produced by the environment that each individual is exposed to. Now, sometimes people say, well, I know two people from the same environment. One turned out to be a minister, the other a gangster. If environment is everything, how come you get that difference in the same environment? Consider this. If you have a 7-year-old child and a 3-year-old child, if you pick up a 3-year-old child and play with it and do not give attention to the 7-year-old, you feel jealousy and envy. So you have to put the older child on your lap and the younger child and say, this is your baby brother. You're going to help him in many ways. Don't ever use one child against the other. Why can't you be like your sister? She cleans up everything. I have to pick up after you. So this builds a difference. So the environment is never the same, even though you come from the same home. Am I getting to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So people who think that there are inborn talents, some people are naturally lazy, other people are hardworking. This is not true. A lazy person is a person that has not been reinforced or rewarded for what they do. In other words, if you have a child and you say, I want you to go down to the corner and get me a couple of cans of beer. And then when you get through, I want you to clean the damn car. You've been sitting around all day. But if your child does something that you like, say, hey, that was nice. I appreciate that. Would you like to go to a movie or something? In other words, if you don't recognize effort put out by your own children, they're going to hide when they see you coming. You see what I mean?
That's true. That's
you have to
true.
Reward all children. You have to give them a sense of self-worth. When my child says to me, Daddy, would you build a model airplane for me? I said, no, but I'll show you how. So I took him to the lumberyard and bought wood, and he had to cut it, and he had to assemble it himself. And when he did, he had a sense of self-worth. You follow me? You say, yeah, let Daddy do that for you. Let Daddy fix that for you. What you're doing is creating dependency. So I can't, in just this one-hour session, turn the world around. I can only give you some highlights of our system.
Well, I know you have so much to share. I mean, it's hard for me to get to the various categories of the inventions and the things that you've designed and created. I mean, they're just so, they go on forever. But I can have you back on the show again and let you talk about some of your inventions because
I didn't get to mention the fact that that since all medical research is given whatever they need, electron microscopes or anything else, without ever digging up nickels and dimes again. That every research lab goes to work on devising methods of reinventing materials if there's a shortage of any one kind of material. For example, a lot of environmentalists are disappointed in the fact that we're cutting down the forest. But if you can go to places, large stores, and buy lumber, they'll keep cutting down the forest. No matter what you say, no matter how many protest signs, no matter how many marches you participate in, they'll keep cutting down the forest as long as people buy lumber. So what you have to do is devise alternative materials and alternative methods that can work, that are practical and feasible. So our society of the future will be based upon the application of the methods of science, not controlled by scientists, but the methods of science applied to the social system.
Well, can you talk about, just briefly, we've got a little time left, and I would love for you to just touch on, like, for instance, some of the streetcars that you've designed and how they run on non-polluting energy and some of the sources of energy that you've already
created.
Well, for example,
we talk about energy crisis or energy shortage. Photovoltaic cells is only one approach. Wind farms are just another approach. But geothermal energy exists all over the world. If we tap the volcanic energy like they did in Iceland on a vast scale, there's more than enough energy to last for thousands of years. Just the volcanic natural heat of the earth will last for thousands of years. There's no shortage of anything except brains in government.
That's so true.
We elect politicians to political office when the problems are technical, and they have no idea of how to deal with them or solve them. They sit around discussing what they think ought to work, whereas scientists don't say, I don't know whether we can put a man on the moon. We better put him in a centrifuge to see how many G's a human can stand. They try to survey every bit of information required to put a man on the moon. Unfortunately, we spend a lot of money on that. I don't know why we go to the moon. There's no reason to, except for beating the Russians in the early days to it. We do a lot of things like children. In other words, we're a very, very poorly developed society. Not only our society, but societies throughout the world are poorly developed, have a terrible language problem, poor methods of communication, no methods of resolving differences. Otherwise, you'd have a a culture that was moving forward into the future, giving every person the maximum opportunity to develop the best that they can be. And this is what we want to do. We want to bring out the best that humans can be. For example, it is detrimental to put a young girl in a department store or any store and have her stand behind a counter and say, "What can I do for you, ma'am?" For 8 hours a day. You're not using the person's brain. It's just like using the screensaver and not using your computer. When we have a man working in a factory drilling holes, this isn't using the human mind. But when we build art centers, music centers, cultural centers, machine shops, so any kid has a place to go and can test out ideas and check out invention, we will create thousands of Leonardo da Vinci's, thousands of Edison's. Maybe that would be the trend zone of the future. They probably will not understand why there was only one Edison, one Louis Pasteur, one Madame Curie. They won't understand that at all because we have not provided an environment to generate constructive incentives rather than the profit motive.
Well, I can't disagree with
that. So I'm talking about a new and different incentive system. And of course, like I say, it's very difficult to take people that have been indoctrinated for many, many years to believe in a certain system. It's very, very hard to turn them around because they feel uncomfortable and they feel that if they picked this up and began to use it, they would lose their identity. They identify with the world as it is. And remember, by offering new ideas, people are not brought up to welcome change. They're brought up to keep things as they are. Family values, back to church, you know, democracy. All these artificialities that never worked and never amounted to anything. But it's well perpetuated by our news media, our television, radio, and even newscasters that are sincere. Do not have this information. And it's very difficult for me. Even when a very powerful news station decided to do a documentary on the work I've been doing, they left out all the social ideas. All they showed was the buildings and the airplanes of the future and transportation. They left out the social commentary. They're afraid. They don't want to rock the boat. Our country is based on rocking the boat. We rock the boat more so than other countries, which is not a bad thing. In other words, to be challenged is a good thing. To be criticized is a good thing. It makes us aware of conditions we never thought about. So we should not be afraid of ideas. We should welcome new ideas. We can disagree with them, but not be afraid of ideas. You know, I don't know if I got the time to tell you a little bit about a newsreel that used to exist in America called the March of Titans. I don't know if any of you out there remember it. But they went to Russia to see what the communists were doing. And they said, "We think that the free enterprise system will generate more incentives than socialism or communism. But we wish you the best of luck on your new and novel social experiment." This is the attitude I'm talking about, not to condemn any system that differs from yours, but to learn something from it. You should not be afraid of ideas or social experiment. The only way to learn is through experiment. How many airplanes do you think were built before the first one flew? I think Dr. Ehrlich did 606 experiments before he was able to control syphilis. I think that Edison did 7,000 different types of filaments in a lamp to get the right one. So we shouldn't be afraid of experiment. Experiment is in our blood, and experiment is the future. And experiment is not being ashamed of making mistakes or not finding answers. You don't find answers right away. You have to work at it. That's what the conservative is. He says, "Look, things are working right now for me. Let's keep it that way." And this is the danger of our society, why we will fail. That they're trying to keep things that way, the way that supports the established system.
Well, now
we look forward to an emergent system that's always undergoing change.
Well, unfortunately today, Jacques, when people speak out like you do, they get killed. You know, we don't have freedom of the press. We don't have the freedom to stand up against the systems because now people are being threatened and killed for speaking out.
Remember this, that it starts in our schools. And our school system is really more propaganda than it is education.
Oh, absolutely.
So your universities today make specialists. Now, how can someone be so stupid as to just be an electrical engineer and not concern himself with the environment? You did a hell of a good job of focusing technology into different areas. They can't even talk to each other. A sociologist has difficulty talking to a psychologist. Psychologists have difficulty talking to an electrical engineer. And this is exactly what they want. They can control you if they control education. But if you're brought up to think for yourself, they would lose control.
Well,
just remember this.
That's why
you have patriotism. It's a mechanism of control.
It's true.
You should have loyalty to the earth and to your fellow human beings and taking good care of the earth because this is our great source of providing the necessities of life.
Well,
once we understand that, we cannot be moved by politicians or theorists or fascists or militarists. We cannot be moved by those people. And this is what's missing in our schools. They talk about freedom of thought. You don't have any of these ideas on television today or radio. Not one. Even the so-called liberal stations have nothing.
Well,
I
have to defend this radio station that's on right now, bbsradio.com, because they do encourage people to think freely and to have ideas and to voice them and not be afraid of voicing them. And that's why this radio station is growing so rapidly. It's only been on the air for a matter of a few months.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Actually, I deeply appreciate that.
Well, listen, I want you to come back again and talk to the audience about some of these marvelous inventions. Tonight we just kind of went over your observations about what a failed society we're operating within right now.
Well,
and I don't think there's anybody that's going to disagree with anything you said this evening.
I hope not.
No, I know. Listen, I have so many friends that are leaving the country right now because they're afraid of our political system.
The best that money can't buy beyond politics, poverty, and war is the book.
Okay.
That you want to see. And
well, I'll try to spread that around to the people that I know. And like I said, maybe I can have you back on again. I'm going to have to say goodnight and thank you
so much
for your time. It's been a privilege to talk to you again, Jacques. And
thank you, Lexi.
We will be talking again soon. This has been Health Frontiers with Lexi Ross. Good night.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.